in the sermon. Well, I guess now it's 121 times. If that gives you any kind of indication about what we're talking about today. Before we begin, I want us to begin in a word of prayer. It's important that we settle back just a little bit and open our ears and our hearts to hear what God has to say. God, we give you thanks for this beautiful day. This is the day that you have made for us to enjoy, and we enjoy living in it. You are God, you are good, and you are truth. We pray that you would help us this morning to be able to not only hear the reality of the universe, but that we would be able to apply it to our lives as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A young toddler is walking by a hot stove where her mother had been cooking, hearing the bacon sizzle in the cast iron skillet and smelling the delectable aroma that only bacon can give. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Bacon's good. God's good. When he made bacon, let me get back to my story here. The toddler moves in for a little closer inspection. She reaches out to grab a hold of the pan, but is stopped by the sound of a loving mother who has always done everything she could to ensure that her inquisitive child stays safe. The truth of this cause and effect scenario is presently unknown to the child. And what happens next depends upon the truth that the mother imparts. The way in which the truth is communicated to the child, I guess it depends upon the culture in which you live. With many here, I suppose the mother would sternly but gently warn her child, "Sweetie, don't touch that. It's hot and you can get burned." Now, in my house, it may sound a little different. Normally, most of the potential outcomes of a certain little girl's actions might even lead to death. "Don't touch that, it's hot. And if you touch that, you're going to burn your little hand. And if you burn your hand, it's going to get infected. And if it gets infected, you're going to die. Do you want to die?" Truth. True or not true? And more often than not, what will happen soon after the warning? She touches the stove. She gets burned. And eventually, perhaps 70 years later, she dies. But she quickly finds out that the ways of truth are not known. She has to learn them. Psalms 25 is where we're at this morning. Verses 4 and 5 reads like this from the English Standard Version. "Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me." What is truth? For thousands of years, people have asked this question, and for thousands of years, the answer has eluded them. In the book of John, Jesus is questioned before Pontius Pilate, just before he's handed over to be crucified. And Jesus states this: "The reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth." A Pilate lived in a world much like ours today. Pilate's response to Jesus was, "What is truth? Pilate stood staring in the face of truth embodied in human form, and yet, like many today, he couldn't recognize it. So what is truth? The dictionary defines truth as that which is in accordance with fact or reality. Truth is authentic, undisputed, the genuine article, the real deal. In a word, truth is reality. It's how things actually are. Theologically, truth is everything that is in harmony with the mind of God and the will of God and the character of God and the very being of God. God himself makes known to us that he is truth. Truth is what it is because God declared it and made it to be so. All truth must be expressed in terms of God because his very nature is truth. In the book of Isaiah, it speaks of God is the God of truth. In John, Jesus is said to be full of grace and truth. He said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit, it says in John, is the Spirit of truth. And also Jesus prayed, your word is truth. Everything about God is truth. And he always tells it just like it is. So what is truth? Perhaps we can gain a better perspective of understanding truth, or the understanding of truth, if we could identify characteristics that distinguish it between everything else, from everything else. First of all, truth is divine. When all is said and done, all truth comes from the divine. It comes from God. It's not of this world. It's not something that the majority believes to be. A pollster cannot go out on a street corner and poll 1,000 persons and come up with truth. And it's not something that's been passed down from generation to generation in family traditions. Truth comes from God alone. And truth is what he says it is. Just as sin is whatever God says it is, as well as judgment and salvation is whatever he says it is. Even heaven and hell are whatever God says they are. It doesn't matter what you think truth is, but simply what God says it is. Romans chapter 3 says, let God be true and every human being a liar. The second characteristic of truth is that it is absolute. Truth is absolute. Without God, there can be no absolutes. And without absolutes, there can be no one universal truth that exists without having to be dependent upon something else. Without absolutes, truth would have to bend to a person's feelings or preferences of society. No, all truth is absolute because God is absolute truth. This means, now stay with me here, that only what is of truth is true. Everything that runs contrary to the truth, then, is a lie. Truth is not inclusive of every belief or opinion. Truth discriminates. It excludes everything that is not true. So if all truth is God's truth, then anything else that contains even the slightest error must be a lie. There's a phrase that's popular in society today that says, live your truth. Basically, its message is that we cannot state anything with certainty. Nothing is factual. It's all relative. Its claim is this: what works for you is right for you, and what works for me is right for me. But something can never be true and untrue. That way of seeing life splits truth into 1,000 pieces to be interpreted by thousands of different people. The Christian philosopher Francis Schaeffer said this about absolute truth: there must be an absolute if there are to be morals. And there must be an absolute if there are to be real values. If there is no absolute beyond man's ideas, then there is no final appeal to judge between individuals and groups whose moral judgments conflict. We are merely left with conflicting opinions. Truth exists without exceptions. Truth is absolute because it comes from one God. And absolute truth depends upon God. The third characteristic of truth is that it is singular. Truth is not a collection of random ideas or feelings or data. It's a single entity. When the Bible speaks of truth, it usually speaks of the truth. Or if you're from a different part of the country, the truth. The Bible doesn't speak of a truth, as if it could come from a bunch of different sources. If we were to study different religions and compare numerous different philosophies, we wouldn't find truth. Instead, the truth, the one truth, is found in one true God. It's singular. Because truth is one body, it's always consistent. It never contradicts itself. Imagine standing in the room this morning when we had our greeting time, and there are different conversations happening all around you. And you try to hone in to just one of the conversations. You're still going to hear the conversations of everybody else who's near to you as well. That's not how truth works. Truth always speaks with one voice, and it's always in perfect agreement with itself and with everything else it says. Schaeffer said, Christianity is not a series of truths in the plural, but rather truth spelled with a capital T. In other words, there is but one origin in our universe. There's only one plan for salvation, only one standard of living, only one way to holiness, and only one way to heaven. There's only one truth. The fourth characteristic of truth is that it is objective. Truth is objective. If truth is objective, then it is not subjective. It's not influenced by our personal feelings or opinions. Ben Shapiro, many of you may have heard this before, says, facts don't care about your feelings. I guess we could easily state it as this: truth doesn't care about your feelings. Shocker. I'm here to make you feel bad this morning. Truth doesn't care about our feelings. Truth, rather, is expressed in precise words that communicate a real and rational meaning. When we speak truth, our words mean something. There's no gray area with truth. It's all black and white. When we state truth accurately, it can be observed, it can be discussed, it can be studied, it can be analyzed, it can be believed, it can be declared, and it can even be defended. There is no defending a lie. And because truth is objective, it is impartial. It never says one thing to one person and something else to another. When I try to get a picture in my mind of what the objectiveness of truth looks like, I think of this statue here of Lady Justice out in the front of the Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C. She's blindfolded and holds a balance scale in one hand and a sword in the other. To me, the blindfold indicates that justice, or in this case, truth, addresses all people alike, just as it finds them. Truth is objective. The final characteristic of truth, the fifth characteristic of truth is that it is unchanging. Truth is unchanging. God doesn't change. He never changes. So neither does his truth. The sculptor of the statue of Lady Justice ensured that her scales would always stay in balance. That whatever is just today is going to be just tomorrow. God's truth cannot be true today, but not true tomorrow. If you've experienced God's truth, and I have a feeling that most of us have, if you've experienced God's truth in the past, you'll experience it exactly the same today and precisely the same way in the future. God's truth is continuously the same yesterday and today and forever. And even though society, from the beginning of time, has tried to redefine truth, muddy the waters, extend its boundaries, God's word is immovable. In Isaiah chapter 40, it says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever." The word of God, the word of God, his truth, shines a bright light on the issues of the day, and his truth is always relative. Doesn't matter when in history it's applied. It's never outdated. It's never obsolete. It never expires. The final characteristics that I have, there's probably more that we could come up with, is that truth is authoritative. Truth is authoritative. When truth is spoken, it speaks with the supreme authority of God himself. Truth doesn't make suggestions. Rather, what truth does is that it demands our compliance. It never gives us another option to consider, but it speaks with the voice of authority and sovereignty. It roars like the sound of a mighty river going over an edge and plunging 100 feet into a giant pool below. If you've ever been by a waterfall, you know that it drowns out every other sound. That's God's truth, speaks with that authority. Truth has the authority to order us. It demands our undivided attention. It must therefore be heard. And we cannot pretend that truth has not spoken. From the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, man fell prey to a lie when the truth was twisted and manipulated. And at some point in our lives, each one of us must confront this lie that churns inside of us. When the light of God's truth exposes the lie for what it is, we cannot just close our eyes and act as if it'll just go away. Truth demands a response from us. We will either believe his truth and accept it, or we will reject it and continue to live in the shadow of the lie. Make me know your ways, O Lord. I don't know them. I don't know them. Make me know your ways. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Where do we find this truth? The early believers walked with Jesus. They walked with truth. They sat with him and they listened to his truth. And they wrote down what he said. God's word, his truth. And when Jesus left this earth, he didn't just leave us with memories. No, he promised to give us a helper. In John chapter 14, we read Jesus saying, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. That's an awful long time. The Spirit of truth. You will know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. If you have the Holy Spirit inside of you this morning, who walks with you and talks to you and helps you along the way, you'll know how precious it is to have that. And if you don't, you'll never know unless you have him. God has sent the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to help us. When we read a passage from God's word, the Holy Spirit instructs us as we read. Sometimes because we're getting older, we don't remember everything. We're not just reading the words on a page. We are receiving instruction from God himself. And when we don't remember what we've read before, the Spirit remains faithful to remind us of previous truths that he's already taught us. When we receive God's truth by faith, it penetrates into the deepest level of our hearts and cleanses and purifies us. This truth, the truth, has life-changing power. It renews our minds. It revives our hearts. It redirects our steps when we go astray. John chapter 8 says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Ultimately, I'll close with this. Truth has the final word in all matters. It has the final word in all matters. It tells us how to live a life that follows Christ. All people will be measured by this truth. Every life will be weighed, if you will, in the balance of the truth. And the truth will have the final say in every life. The ways of truth are not known. We must take time to walk with the Spirit and dive into the Word of God, so that we can learn what his truths are. Lord, we give you thanks this morning. That when life kind of throws us a curveball, we have your truth that we can fall back on. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us an opportunity to know your truth, the only truth. form of reality in our society today. When the waters are muddied, when we're competing with conflicting viewpoints, when the evil society tries to lead us astray, your truth helps to keep us on the straight and the narrow, continually pointing us back to the cross and to a life of holiness with you. Help us, Lord, as we go through life, as we go through this week, to seek your truth in all things and to be truth to the world in all things around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.